This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com. And welcome back to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is Naya Barnett, who is a film correspondent for London Football Scene. She's on to help us preview the upcoming match for Fulham against Manchester United. We're also going to learn a little bit about Naya, who's been covering Fulham Football Club since 2022 and actually been a supporter since she was 9 years old. So she's an actual supporter. So this should be fun. As always, please do subscribe on YouTube and Apple Podcasts. It does help other Fulham supporters find us. Okay. Without further ado, let me welcome Naya to the show. Naya, welcome to Cottage Talk. Thank you for joining me today.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Well, listen, you've been covering Fulham for a while. Before we talk about the Manchester United match and talk about some interesting topics, I want to learn about you, how you became a Fulham supporter, and also how you came to covering the club itself. So you were a Fulham supporter first, and Now you're actually covering Fulham, which is fantastic.
I know, it's quite exciting, to be fair. So as you said, I've been a Fulham fan since I was nine years old. My uncle actually introduced me to Fulham because I live in Chiswick, so it's actually not too far away. Also been, as you said, covering Fulham since 2022. I finished my master's in sports journalism in September, but I was covering them a little bit before then. So I go to all of the press conferences to talk to Marco Silva and then go to the games and live tweet the games on the London Football Scene Twitter and then chat to the players or Marco after the match as well to get quotes for him and write articles.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, what has stood out from you from covering Marco Silva? Is there a time where you've actually asked him a question that stands out to you?
I would say maybe last week when it was only me and a girl from Premier League Productions, and it was just us two in the press conference, and I asked him like six questions, just one-to-one, pretty much had a one-to-one chat with him, questions that I've asked him, because most of my questions I want to try and differentiate myself from other journalists. Instead of asking the same old questions week in, week out, I just find that really boring. So I asked about Alex Iwobi and his online abuse last week, which was quite interesting to hear how he's doing and everything like that.
Well, I'm glad that you asked that. Now, we're going to be talking a little bit about his time in the African Cup of Nations because there's an interesting interview that was actually just posted on FulhamFC.com. I want to get your thoughts on that. But I'm glad that you asked that because I was sickened when I heard about the abuse that he dealt with. It sounds like Marco was upset about it.
Yeah, he was. I don't think he said to us that he doesn't know much about it. Like he knows that, I think he knows like the basics and stuff and he's trying to support him as best as he can, but he just doesn't know the full story. He is really upset and trying to support him as best as he can. Like with all his players, but especially Alex at this time.
Okay, great. All right. So let's talk a little bit about Fulham season so far through your eyes. Like you said, you're covering the team. What has stood out for you from, say, last season?
I think it's more up and down this season. I think we've been playing well. I just think Fulham are a bit too scared in front of goal. It's like it somehow, once Fulham get in, obviously we get into the box, it's just like, oh my God, we're going to freak out and let's try and shoot, but it goes way over, or it goes to the side, or we get a corner and then it. But then we have some games like the West Ham game where we score 5 goals against them. And same with Notts Forest. I think it's been up and down so far. I think we are trying to find our feet still, because obviously we don't really have a striker. Like, I know we got Bergevin.
Right.
As Marcus said, he's still trying to adapt. And obviously from club to club, it's quite difficult.
Right. Okay, very good there, Naya. Okay, so let's go back. Let's talk a little bit about the interview that actually was just posted on the Fulham website about Bassey and Iwobi. Now, what's interesting about this is that it sounds like after watching this that it's been a little bit grueling coming back to England from the African Cup of Nations. I was actually pretty critical of Marco for not starting both of these players in their last match. I was very critical because I thought they gave Fulham the best chance to win, but maybe there was a fitness issue here. So what did you get out of this interview with Calvin Bassey and Alex Iwobi talking about their time in the African Cup of Nations?
I thought Bassey was a bit more positive and like had a bit of a joke and was really pleased about the performance, like even just getting to the finals. Alex Iwobi, however, was very quiet, didn't really want to be there, didn't really want to have a conversation. Well, in my eyes, he was kind of like lowering down, was just fiddling with his hands a little bit. I get completely, even it obviously admitted that he was off social media, which I completely, he was having a social media break, I think he said, which I completely understand. And then I think they kind of let Bassey try and do all the talking, which I would honestly, as an interviewer, I would have done exactly the same thing. I would have just asked questions mainly to Bassey. And I also don't understand why everyone's hating on them doing really badly in the cup. Like, I know they were favourites, but as in, obviously, I think 2-3 of them have won it before, but I think the rest were fairly new to the game, or fairly new to actually being the AFCON Cup, like Bassey. So, well, maybe not. I know Alex Iwobi, it was his third time, but I don't think he knew what he was going to expect from the whole tournament. And also, they did play well throughout the tournament. It's not like they played shit. So I'm allowed to swear on this.
That's okay. You can swear.
They didn't play poorly. Well, apart from the final, they played okay. But yeah, thought he as in because I tried to talk to Alex Iwobi Saturday.
Yep.
And he was like, "Yeah, I'm good. I don't really want to talk right now." It's like, honestly, I get it, completely understand. But can I just ask one question? At least one. But yeah, I think he's just quite, and I think also he's a shy guy anyway.
Yep.
He seems just a nice, gets on with it sort of thing. And I also think they're knackered. I agree with Marco. I think they do need a little bit of a refresh, because apparently they did, like when they landed, when they said in an interview, they literally went straight to training. I don't think they've had a break up until that point.
And what's interesting, like I said, I was very critical. And then I saw the quotes today from Marco talking about how they were, you know, obviously coming back from the African Cup of Nations. So maybe I got this one wrong. It wouldn't be the first time I got this one wrong. And Marco was just being more cautious, having them come off the bench. So I was just disappointed, Naya, because I think these two players changed Fulham. I think they absolutely agree. So yeah, that's why I was disappointed. I think you could understand that.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I would be too. And I think I was. I thought Bassey could have started the game on Saturday, to be honest with you. I know, and I think he also is, at this moment in time, better than Reem. And it's kind of heartbreaking to say that, because he was unbelievable last season. And we all know that Batty is the long-term solution for them anyway. So, but I do agree with you. I was disappointed when he wasn't started, but I could also understand it in a way, in Marco's way of thinking. Iwobi, however, I kind of get where Marco's coming from, because as much as everyone knows that he's an unbelievable player for Fulham and actually makes an impact straight away, he does need time to figure everything out, even if it's football. And also the footballing side is still, there's still a little bit probably, oh, we lost the FA Cup. Oh, what if I play bad against Aston Villa now? And it just mentally, it goes even worse. So I get there.
No, I get it now. It's, but at the time, I was...
Completely. At the time, trust me, I'm with everyone else. At the time, I was slightly disappointed, but...
But yeah. Now that we're getting these comments after the fact, I do understand it much better than I did at the time. It's funny, I did a poll and 60% agreed with Marco's decision and 40% agreed with me at the time that I thought he should put out his strongest starting 11. But there is a method to the madness, Naya, and he's the manager. He knows better than me, and he probably got it right, even though I was being selfish and wanted these players back in. But probably, if you look at all the games coming up, it was probably the right move. But at the time, it just, you know, it disappointed me, because I knew that these two players change everything. I know Alex Iwobi, when we talk about him coming up, changes form tremendously. Yeah. And I think Bassey, listen, I'm an American, love Tim Ream, but Bassey's the better player. At some point, you need to move on. Yeah. He makes form better. And I actually think Bassey and Tosin are the best center back pairing. We'll talk about starting 11 coming up, but we shall see. But again, good stuff about Calvin Bassey and Alex Iwobi. Now let's move on to a player that has surprised many. Let's talk about Rodrigo Muniz. Now you were interviewed about Rodrigo Muniz. You gave a couple of quotes. Give me your thoughts on the article and then your thoughts in general on Rodrigo Muniz.
Well, the article, Chiswick Herald DM'd me, can you ask a couple of questions and give your take on it? So, and it was also quite last minute. I didn't expect the article to come out quite soon after. I thought it was kind of going to be a long piece. So I just kind of just gave my opinion on it. And then my opinion of Muniz, he's still really young and he still has got a lot to learn. But I do like he's got the fundamentals of becoming a really good striker. And also scoring 4 goals in 3 games. He's kind of done like a massive turnaround. Because most Fulham fans, and as I agree with them at the start, up and down, maybe score 1 goal here. Then like, maybe like, yeah, I would agree with the whole Fulham fandom being like, yeah, he's not great in December. Wasn't doing that well. Wasn't really holding up the ball that great. His overall performance was just a bit, he was trying his hardest, don't get me wrong, but he's also 22, you have to realise. Yep. So he probably still has got a lot to learn. Marco has somehow, I don't know how, maybe he's doing weekly chats with him like he does with Piera, but he's somehow magically transformed him into a really good striker. And he's not only that, he's making Boja not even play. And we know as Fulham fans, that's like, he must be doing something right for that to happen. So I like where his performance is going, but I do think, and also being out on loan last season, Marco did say last week, being like, he did change in other ways. His footballing side wasn't that great, but he did change in other ways and improve his overall mentality probably in other ways and grew up a bit more, his maturity. So I think, and also he couldn't really speak English, so I can understand why that can affect the team as well, because if he can't really speak much English, then can't really talk to the teammates. I know we have a few Brazilians, but it's probably not the same. It's probably not the same as like, let's have a team dinner and everyone is speaking English and you can't really speak English. I don't know. But yeah, his performance has been transformational, let's say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So let's get on to talking about a couple of topics you actually had on X, talking about overrated player, underrated player, overhated player.
Yeah.
Best player and worst player. So cool. we're gonna go through all of them. So let's start with overrated player. Now, I'm going to just share who the overrated player is. I actually agree with it, and I've gotten a little bit of stick for it. Okay. I'm going to explain. I went on a podcast,
cool,
and it was called the EPL Roundtable, and the host wanted to give me a form-specific question and started telling me how great Andreas Pereira is and how the stats say how much he's creating for Fulham. Are you concerned about his lack of goal scoring? And so I just stopped and I said, wow. I said, this is going to surprise you, but I actually think he's been a disappointment this season. And I don't think that his set piece deliveries have been the greatest as they were last season. And more importantly, I don't think he has been at the same level he was last season. So I went off on all this and I actually put out a poll because many Fulham supporters have come to me, Naya, with the idea that maybe he should be dropped. Maybe Andreas Pereira should be dropped. So I did a poll on this, and my poll was actually almost even to fans wanting him dropped to fans not wanting him dropped. So I think it was about 53% to 47% yes to drop him, which it's fairly even. But I think he's been a disappointment. You have him as your overrated player. So I think we're in agreement here.
Okay. Can I ask a question? Can I ask, for the people who say that he's overrated and they want him to be dropped, who would you want him to be replaced by?
That's a great question. If you're asking me,
I
would either have, I would personally have Kearney play that role. I would have Kearney play the number 10 role. Play him further up the pitch. That's what I would do. Because at that point, then you could potentially play Paulinho, Reed, and Kearney together if you wanted to go in that direction. Or you could also play Alex Iwobi as the number 10. There are players that I think that can do that role. So that's where I'm going on that.
Whereas this is the only reason why I am saying that he's the overrated player is because of the lack of goals, right? That is literally, that's probably, I agree in the sense that his set piece hasn't been amazing in last season. Sure, great. But he has hit the crossbar. He has hit the woodwork.
He has.
So you can't exactly say, I don't know how to say it. Like, he is a good player. Arco likes him to play in that position, because he's a bit more attacking than Kearney. He wants Kearney to be a bit more of a defensive midfielder, which for Marco, I'm like, TC does not like to defend. We all know that TC is a bit of a pretty boy and doesn't really like a tackle. And he's like, oh, I don't want to get hit on my hair. Like, let's fix up the hair and everything like that. We know this as Fulham fans, but we really do. So with Marco, I kind of disagree with that, put him in the defensive role. I think with Pierre, it's more of a mentality thing. I think it's more of a, if we lose two games in a row, let's say, his confidence will literally go rock bottom. And I think that's where Marco needs to be a bit more. I know he does weekly chats with him, but like, he needs maybe a bit more than a weekly chat. Have a little bit, how are you doing today? What are you up to try and get his mentality back to this? Mentality might be amazing for all I know, but I do think sometimes that his mentality might just drop a bit. But then obviously if his mentality drops a bit, then his performance drops a bit. And then it's just like, and then every Fulham player is like, oh, he's really bad, blah, 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 blah. But then, for example, if he has an amazing game, like two game, and he's amazing, all us Fulham fans are going to be like, oh my God, he's amazing. Oh my God, he's not going to be overrated anymore. You see what I mean? That's my predicament.
Okay. I understand that, Naya. I really do. And listen, I know that Marco really appreciates what he offers. He is very good at pressing, and that's, I think, a big part of what Marco wants. So I get that part of his value. I guess for me, I'm just frustrated by lack of goals and also the lack of continuity with some of his players. But the stats back Pereira more than my eyes, I guess, in some ways. So I guess I struggle with him because I actually think when he plays with Jimenez and Alex Iwobi, then you see the best of Andres Pereira. When those two players are not playing with him, I think he can go missing. That's kind of where I'm going on.
I do agree with that, though. I think if Alex Iwobi is playing, you do see Pereira just drift a bit. He's kind of like, oh, you don't really know where he is. Whereas I do, like, if he has to get dropped, and I'm only saying that in the sense that if Marco basically says, oh, don't really want to play you in this game for a tactical reason, let's say, put right. Alex Iwobi there, because that is where his... And also, I did an article on Alex Iwobi, basically saying he can play where Pierre plays, he can play where Polina plays. That's where his most two best...
Right.
That's his main two positions that he's best playing at anyway. And I had got a bit of slack for it, which I'm like, well, I'm also right. Like, you know I'm right, but you just want to give me slack because...
Okay, very good. All right. So that's your overrated player. Let's talk about underrated player. This is actually a good one because I'm a big fan of Timothy Castagne. Why do you think he's underrated?
I think he's been so solid this season. I think as a defender, I didn't expect when Marco was like, oh, I want Castagne. I haven't really seen much of him before Fulham played. I kind of was like, oh, okay, cool. I now can understand why he wanted him to begin with. He's solid in defence. I know he's not as fast as Tete, but in some like games, you need a solid player that can just do the defensive work and just tackle loads and sort of that role. And also, he can make any position in that back line. So if Tosun has an injury or if Reem has an injury or even, let's say, Bassi has an injury, he can replace that role. And I just think no one really talks about him. Like, I don't think any Fulham fans really talk about him that much that I have seen. I know everyone loves Tete, and I agree with you. Tete's great. But he is getting a bit older now. He's 31, 32, I think.
No, he's a little younger.
Okay. And he is really fast. I just think with Tete, he can get out of position. He can get out of position a bit too much. Yeah. And he has to like run back loads. But yeah, I do like Castagne a lot. I just don't think many Fulham fans, I think everyone like loves Tete and doesn't appreciate how much Castagne has done for us. Because without him, sorry, Tete's been injured for the last two games.
Yep.
And also last game he said he was available and hasn't really, and he wasn't even in the squad. So something's up.
Okay, very good. All right. Just for time's sake, we're going to go to one more topic from your topics that I saw on Twitter, okay? Let's go to best player, because I think that's a great place to go. Let's just talk about best player, okay? Sure. So this is an interesting one, because I think Fulham's best player is João Paulinho.
Okay.
But I could make the argument the player that you think is Fulham's best player right now is Alex Iwobi, and I think Fulham really missed him when he was at the African Cup of Nations, Naya. So why is he your best player?
Because I think ever since he's joined, he's made an impact in any way he can. If it's on bench, if it's playing, he's always does everything, in my eyes, amazing, pretty much. I think my only criticism of Alex Iwobi is that he just needs to track back more. Like, that's literally it. Like, Polina, I could agree, he is probably our best player, but he has had, I reckon, out of the whole season so far, at least seven games where he hasn't played that great. Like, and I mean by, it wasn't, there was one, I can't remember what game it was, but there was like one game that I reported on, he only like tackled twice or something, and that's like, Whoa, João Paulinho, you've only like tackled twice, like what the hell is wrong with you? And I kind of get it maybe because obviously it was nearer to the January transfer and he was maybe going to get pulled up a bit with wanting to go to Real Madrid and stuff. But I think he has had bad games. Whereas I just think Alex Iwobi, if you've looked at every game he's played, I don't think he's played badly once.
Totally agree. That's actually a very good take there by you, Naya, because if I have one criticism of João Paulinho is that there are games where he's not at his level. And when he's not, I've always said, when he's playing at a man-of-the-match level, I'm talking about Joao Pena, Fulham tend to get something out of the match and probably win. When he's not at that level, Fulham are not at that level. So, but Alex Iwobi has been extremely consistent. I can't think of a bad match he's had so far. I can't think of a bad match. And he just seems to lift the team whenever he is playing. Like I said, he comes off the bench in the last match, and I think he makes a difference just by being on the pitch.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah, so that's why I totally agree with you. For right now, for this season, he might be Fulham's best player. We'll get to the end of the season. We'll see what people think is a player of the season. But I understand why you have him right now as your best player.
I had one journalist, it's quite funny, how he thinks that Harry Wilson could be our player of the season. And I think all the journalists started cracking up at that joke. As in, we actually thought he was putting up a leg, being like, what the hell are you thinking about? Because as much as he scored an amazing goal against West Ham, and he has been good. He's definitely not our best player this season, I don't think.
That's a pretty obvious one, but
Everyone has their own opinion.
Everyone, like I said, I had someone come to me and tell me how great Andres Pereira is, and I said my eyes tell me something different. So everyone has a different opinion, and that's what makes football so great, Naya, is that we all have different views of things. So that's what's good. Okay. So now we're going to focus on the upcoming match. Coming up next, Naya and I are going to break down and preview the upcoming match for Fulham at Old Trafford against Manchester United.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Okay, Naya, let's get to it. Let's talk a little bit about Manchester United. I don't know if you had a chance to watch them at all this season. I've watched them a little bit, and I can just tell you, if you want to talk about an up-and-down club, I think they've been up and down. But they've hit a good form right now. They've actually been really playing well lately. Is this the worst time for Fulham to be playing this team? But before we really do that, let's just transition a little bit. Cool. I want to get your thoughts on the loss of Joao Pena. Let's talk about that first. How do Fulham overcome the loss of Joao Pena? Who do you think plays that role? Could it be Sasa Lukic? Could it be Harrison Reed? Who plays the role?
I think in this match, I think maybe Reed. I think Harrison Reed might edge it, because he has been consistent. And when he has played, especially in the Carabao Cup, and especially against Liverpool, he was unbelievable.
He was.
Tracking back, doing everything. And I also think he might be really good against Manchester United, because he'll play that sort of role. I do like Lukic, though, but it's what Marco wants. In my opinion, Reedy.
Okay, very good. All right, so let's go back and just get your thoughts on Manchester United.
I agree with you. I think they're up and down. I think against Luton, everyone says, oh my God, they were amazing. No, sorry, they weren't. Luton could have easily won.
They weren't amazing. I watched the match. They were not amazing.
Exactly. Like, we could easily beat them. As in, if they play as they played against Luton, we could easily beat them. I agree with you in the sense that they've been up and down. They have been really inconsistent, like ridiculously inconsistent, and they score goals, just their goals don't really reflect I don't have, like, the goals don't really affect the final match, if you see what I mean. If you look at, like, if you look at Luton and they score 3-1, you could easily, basically, when watching the match, oh, it could have been 4-3 to Luton or however many, like, it didn't reflect it. And it's, oh, what's his name? I can't pronounce
it. Hoglund or?
Hoglund, yeah, I don't know how to pronounce that. So I'm really sorry for butchering your name, but, like, he just, he scores goals, yes, but he's not exactly a great striker, in my opinion. That's probably really controversial, but, like, I don't think he's that good.
Okay. Okay, no worries, no worries. Okay, so let's get to it. Let's get to talking about the starting 11. The way I want to do it is I'm going to share my starting 11, what I would do. Okay. Then I want to get your starting 11. And then I want to get your thoughts on what you think Marco is going to do.
Okay.
So actually, why don't we do this? I'm going to give my starting 11. I'm going to share what I think Marco is going to do. And then I want you to give your starting 11 and what you think Marco is going to do. I know it might sound a little confusing, but I want you to get the starting 11 twice, yours and then his. So I'll start with my starting 11, then I'll share what I think Marco is going to do. I'm going to go with Leno, Castagna, Robinson. I'm going to go with Reed, Kearney, Pereira, which I don't know if he's going to do that. I'm going to go, if fit, Willian. On the right, Alex Iwobi and Rodrigo Muniz up front. What I think he's going to do is I think Marco will go. Oh, I didn't even do the center backs.
I was like, where's the center backs gone? I was like, are we not having any center backs? Are we just gonna have it?
No, Naya, I know you're new to the show, but that's what we call a Goldman. That's my
great.
That's a mistake. Right. We go through all this and I don't give you center back. So I'm going to go Bassey and Tosin. So there you go. I'm going Bassey and Tosin. So that's my starting 11. What I think Marco will do is I think he's going to go Leno, Castagna, Robinson. I think he's going to go with Bassey and Diop. That's what I think he's going to go with. That's my gut feeling. If Willian is ready to go, I think he'll go Willian. And I think he'll go Iwobi on the right. I think he'll go Reed, Lukic, and it might be flipped, Lukic and Reed, and then Pereira. And then I think up front he'll go Rodrigo Muniz. But that's what I think he's going to do. I'm giving you both. I would go a little bit differently. Now, what would you do? And then go with what you think Marco's going to do.
Leno.
Okay.
Oh, see.
Don't forget the center backs like I did.
No, I'm not going to forget the center back. No chance. I think if Tete's fit.
Okay.
And I'm not a big if. Tete.
Okay.
Tosin, Bassey.
Okay.
Robinson.
Okay.
Harrison Reed, TC, Wilson, Pierre.
Okay.
Iwobi.
Okay. And who's up front?
Munez.
Okay. So that's what you would go with. What do you think Marco's going to do?
Okay. Leno, Castagna, Tosin, Ream.
Robinson,
thank you. Oh, I like your good shout in the middle, though, but I don't want to copy you.
That's okay.
Reed, Harrison Reed, TC.
Okay.
Wilson, Pierre, Iwobi, Munez.
Munez. Okay. Okay. So it's somewhere. It's somewhere. That's good. That's
similar-ish.
Good.
The only reason why I'm saying Iwobi replaces Willian is because I don't think he's going to be fit for the game.
Yeah, you're probably right. It was probably more wishful thinking on my part.
No, I want it, but I'm kind of being a bit more realistic.
Right. Well, see, you're more grounded than I am. So there you go. Okay. Well, listen, I really enjoy doing this with you, but we're going to end with the prediction for the match. Okay, this is how we're going to end the show.
Yeah.
So I'll go first. I'll give you my prediction, okay? And it pains me to do this. I am going 3-1 Manchester United. I can't pick Fulham in this. I wish I could. Anyone that knows me knows that I usually pick Fulham either a draw or a win, but I can't at this point. I think the loss of Paulinho is too big. I'm going 3-1 to Manchester United. That's my prediction. And I hope I'm wrong.
See, I agree with you in the sense that we're going to lose. But okay, and it pains me to say this because I don't like Chris Sutton at all. But I am going to agree with him in this scenario, and it's going to be a 2-1 Manchester United. Okay. And if we're going to score 100%. Okay. And I agree that, see, this is the thing. Everyone says it's going to be a massive loss, and I agree with them in the sense, I do. But I do think we have great players that can replace him. It's not doom and gloom. And I agree that we always play better when he's in the team, but we also do play better when he isn't. It just kind of depends on how we're feeling as the players on the day.
Okay. All right. So you have 2-1 to Manchester United. Yeah, I have 3-1 to Manchester United. Let's hope we're both wrong, Naya. Let's hope we're both
wrong. Yeah, me too, honestly. Can we have Chris Sutton to be wrong and both of us wrong at the same time? He normally is wrong anyway, so it's fine. But, okay. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Well, listen, thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed it, Naya.
Thank you so much. I had so much fun.
Okay, well, great. Well, listen, before we go, tell everyone how they can follow you on X, formerly known as Twitter, and also how that they can read you on London Football Scene.
So my @ is Barnett, Barnett, and then the _ Naya, Nyah. And they can read me on London Football Scene when I have if you have like your notifications on London Football Scene, it normally just has my @, and then I normally retweet it. And I did an exclusive on the Apple TV's Messi World Cup, if you like that sort of thing, on my own film and theatre website, Over the Shoulder, but also on London Football Scene as well.
So okay. Okay, fantastic. Well, listen, it's been great having you on, Naya, and I hope you come back again soon.
Yeah, I definitely will. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Well, listen, that's going to do it for this episode of College Talk. As always, please do subscribe on YouTube and Apple Podcasts. It does help other phone supporters find us. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. For Naya, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for watching and listening to College Talk, part of the TalkSport Fan Network. It's the 90th minute, and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McDonald's share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.